Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me to not only look ahead to Saturday's home game with Cheltenham Town but discuss all the exciting transfer activity that's happened since we were last on before the international break. First up, Mr. Tom Wallin. Mr. Wallin, how you doing? How did Wales get on during the international break?
Well, they scraped by one game with a Bale hat-trick. And then they were terrible last night. Well, actually, there were your chances, but drew 0-0.
Yeah.
So, you know, up and down.
As is always the way with the Welsh national side. And, well, England got on a bit better, didn't they, Lewis Cat?
That's it, mate. Yeah. Can't beat a bit of England. Although I didn't watch it last night because I was out watching some village football down in Otford. Saw Big Ryan Innes as well down there.
Angling for a move, isn't he, down that way?
Yeah, I don't think he'll need it. I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, on tonight's pod then, as I said, we will look ahead to that Cheltenham Town game in a few minutes' time. But there's been so much transfer activity that's happened since we were last on. So we're going to chat about that. We're going to hear Nigel Atkins' thoughts on the end of the transfer window. We're also going to hear the highlights and some reaction to the Charlton Athletic women's team 3-1 win over Coventry United. And we speak to former Charlton goalkeeper and absolute addicts legend Bob Boulder. He's halfway between Land's End and John O'Groats on a charity cycle ride at the moment for the Trust and the Upbeat. So I caught up with him yesterday just for a little update as well. So I think we should hear some audio really from Nigel Atkins. Obviously before the game against Crewe, we did that. Then we had our show after, and then the transfer deadline day came on the Tuesday after. And so in between our last show, we've had confirmation that Harry Arter's joined, Sam Lavelle and Jonathan Lecco joined on transfer deadline day. Stephen Henderson and Papa Suarez then be picked up as free agents after the window shut. So it's been all changed since we were last here. And Nigel Atkins was asked during his press day today how he feels now about the shape of his squad.
Oh yeah, I mean, from my point of view, I would have loved to have been in this situation at the start of pre-season. You know, as it is, we're starting again because we've basically got a whole brand new group. We've got a big squad of players now. We've got to make sure there's a pathway there for the youngsters who have done great. You know, so there's a lot of time and attention going in on that. We've obviously brought some more senior players in. We've got to get them up to speed with the fitness side of things as well. The games, some players have not played as many games as they've needed to go and do, so we've got to try and get them up to speed. And likewise, everybody, I'm sure, if you've got a piece of paper and wrote down all of the players we've got and said, right, pick a start 11 from that, guarantee that probably 99% of the people who did that wouldn't pick the same team as I'm going to go and pick. So I remember going to a dinner once with Sir Jack Charlton, and he was there. I think it was about 250 people in the room, and he did that as a for charity. Put your pound in if you like. There's the 25 players off that list. Pick the same team as me. I don't think anybody in the whole room did that. So it's always going to be about opinion. Ultimately, you know, we've got a group of guys. Competition for places drives performance, and that's what we need. We want to be at the top end of the division come the end of the season, but we've got a group of guys. The spirit's really good. I'd like to think we've added real good quality to the group that we've already had. And for me, we're only time, but we've got to be thinking, right, how can we get the performance right to win the next game of football? We should be stronger in the starting 11 that goes out. We should be stronger on the impact we can make from the bench. We should be stronger to deal with international players being away, for injuries that might come our way, for suspensions that might come our way. So we put ourselves in a stronger position, which is good. Ultimately, trying to put all these pieces of the jigsaw together to get the performance, to get the results, is going to be the art.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, from your reaction, I'm guessing I know the answer to this already, but you're happy with the business that we've made in that squad transfers. I'm sure everybody would have said you wanted to do it sooner, but ultimately, once that transfer window closed, and even beyond that with the our contract players that obviously came in, you're happy with what you've got, or are you still going to look? We had two free agents coming, Stephen Henderson and Pape Suarez. You're still going to be looking out for these type of players as well?
No, this is the squad. This is the squad that we've got going into the next transfer window, which is... See, I've even thrown the phone away now. This is the squad that we've got going into the next transfer window in January. However, as you rightly say, we will always constantly, for the January window, next summer's window, the January window after that, the summer window after that, there's constantly we're going to be looking at how we can have the evolution of the squad. How can we make sure the pathway for the youngsters is right? We don't block that because we want them to come through. We've got to think about maybe some of our players go out on loan so they're getting a games programme, as well as keeping a very strong under-23s programme as well. So there's many aspects to this that we've got to go and look at. And the art's going to be having a good conversation with everybody and trying to make sure that everybody feels wanted, are wanted, and how we can keep developing them. On the training ground, I was really pleased with training today. We just have that real good sense that everything's gone up a notch now because we've got that competition, we've got the quality of the players coming in, we've got the youngsters with their enthusiasm as well.
There we go, Nigel Adkins. He's considering where we were a few weeks ago, especially at the start of the season, Tom. I mean, it's been quite the transformation, and all of a sudden it feels like we're in a very strong position.
Yeah, I think it's going to take time for them to gel, and Nigel said himself he wanted them in before we were even in pre-season. But as we've said for the first five or six shows of the season, we needed to wait until the end of the window to really judge this side, and it's been difficult, and I understand the fans' frustration, and at times I've felt it as well. But I think when you look at the squad that we've got together now, there isn't really any excuses. It's not a squad that necessarily are now going to go and win the league, but it's a squad that's definitely capable of those top six places, despite the start we've had. So, yeah, I think we've brought in players in the right places. And I think, the arrivals this week of Henderson and Suarez really finished that off, just securing a left back and a goalkeeper, because they were perhaps the final places where we did have people missing. So, yeah, it is now about those players gelling. It's about, and I had this debate with somebody, I think possibly on Twitter yesterday, about, what formation do we play now? Because even in those attacking places, we've got, seven or eight people, and probably three or two spots to play them. So I think we're going to have to accept that, all of those players aren't going to play every game. And the challenge Nigel now has, as opposed to just getting a side out there, is who are the right players and what's the right formation to take on each team. And if he gets that right, then, as I say, I think we've got the personnel in there to go on a good run now once those players gel in.
I mean, do you think after the start to the season there was a bit of a realisation that we desperately needed a bit more in the squad, and maybe we've sort of woken up and finished it? Or do you think this was sort of always the plan? I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, I'm leaning towards the first one personally, Lewis. Which way did you see the window go?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, Thomas spoke openly about wanting to work with youth and bring youth through, give them a chance. And obviously we have an incredible academy with incredibly talented young players, but you also need that experience and that pedigree to get out of this division. And I think, like you say, we probably underestimated the league, probably looking around as well at people doing other business. I know Ipswich and Wigan have had very busy windows, but a lot of other clubs haven't because of the pandemic and finances, etc. But I think we've obviously, with the start we've had, taken stock and realised that we need bodies to compete. We need backup. You need competition for places, because people will just become, slack and lackadaisical if they've got no one pushing them for their position, which, we've seen that come in now. Elliot Lee came in for the last game, and I think he's been a really good addition. And as Tom said there, the additions of, on deadline day, of Harry Arter, Jonathan Lecco, Sam Lavelle, and then the signings this week of Suarez and Stephen Henderson as well. It just kind of completes the squad for me. I think we've really, we've taken stock. We've made some mistakes maybe early on with underestimating it, but we've put it right. And, fans were calling out for those signings, and we've delivered now. And it looks like, as Tom said, we've got a squad really capable of pushing for things now. Whether that's the top two or the top six remains to be seen. But when you look at the squad on paper, you'd be expecting a side with the players and the personnel that we have now to be pushing for the upper echelons of the division, and I think we will now.
Now, everyone likes an exciting transfer deadline day, Tom, and I think, you know, especially when the deal goes down to the line and you don't know if it's going to come out and you don't really know who it is. So that was a bloody lovely surprise when Jonathan Lecco popped up right at the end of the transfer window. I mean, beyond 11 o'clock it was announced. And I mean, a player coming back to where he had such a successful loan spell in the Championship, in the league above, obviously cut short by injury. He hasn't had the best of time at Birmingham. We have to be clear about that. But, you know, I was overjoyed to see Jonathan Lecco back. And wow, what an attack! An amount of attacking options we have now, especially if you think about those wider forward players, Lecco, DJ, Kirk, you know, Washington can play out there. There's so many options now on either side of Jaden Stockley.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I said earlier, you know, now it's about, right, which of those players can grab that chance and what formation do we play to best suit those players and best suit the opposition we're playing. And yeah, I was delighted that he came back. I thought he started his Charlton career with us a little bit slowly, but then sort of hit that purple patch, didn't he? And then obviously, yeah, as you say, got the injury. And that might have been the same at Birmingham, you know. It might have just taken a while to settle in there as well. So, look, he was at home here. We've obviously all seen, I'm sure, the videos of him and Tracy Leeburn kind of getting back together and seeing each other again. And he obviously feels very comfortable around the club. So, you know, I'd expect at this level, certainly, that he will be another one that can do some damage. And as you say, the likes of Kirk and DJ already shown little glimpses. We've got, obviously, Elliot Lee. We've got Connor Washington. So there are players there that can play number 10. There are players there that can play wide in a front three. I would suggest maybe Connor and Jaden, perhaps Ronnie, if once we know what's going on with him, the only people who could probably play in a front two. But we've got so many options up there now, and that's what we need, because those first few games we've seen that goals have been hard to come by, and obviously the Crawley game we managed to knock a few in, but prior to that it was primarily set pieces up until the Crewe game. So yeah, that's what we'll be looking at now, is, you know, how do we get those players in and how do we get them scoring? But once we do, we've got so much attacking threat, and as Lewis said, you know, that now puts pressure on players, because if they do have a bad game or two, we've got seven or eight players there kind of waiting, you know, even Blackett Taylor, you know, he's there. All of them are there just waiting to take that chance. So, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. I'm just looking forward to seeing them now, because this international break feels like it's gone on forever.
Yeah, harsh. I missed out Blackett Taylor off that list, really, of wide options, because he played very well against Crawley, obviously, in the Papa John's. But he got his first goal and he looked really lively when he played, got a standing ovation when he went off as well, as did the likes of Elliot Lee, who played really well. Maybe we'll chat a bit more about that game actually later on as well, because it was a great evening and it obviously was the prelude to the end of the transfer window. But I mean, who else came in? Sam Lavelle coming in from Morecambe. You know, a lot of people were wondering if we even needed another centre half, because we've been so impressed by Deji Elleraway. But I think realistically we do still need to remember he's a 17-year-old, so there's no harm bringing him on here and there, and he's proven more than capable of doing that, but you don't want to overly rely on someone so young just yet.
No, definitely not. And I think the acquisition of Sam Lavelle as well has probably gone under the radar a little bit because of the excitement around Jonathan Lecco and also Harry Arter. But, you know, this is a guy who's a consistent starter for his former club, captain of his former club, about 165 appearances for Morecambe. You know, so he's experienced, good pedigree, a leader as well. And when you've got someone like that coming off of a bench, or, you know, even pushing for a starting place, that's, you know, like we say, real strength in depth. And I was one of the positions I did think was key, because the fitness of Ryan Innes and Akinfenwo last season, not in terms of their overall fitness, but injuries, obviously left us really vulnerable in that period around sort of Christmas time when we were without both of them. Which is when we really struggled to defend and keep clean sheets. There's always that concern of those injuries coming back up again, especially with Ryan, with the long layoff that he did have. So it's good to have that back up there, because like we said, we can manage him like we did in pre-season. We brought him back so late on because we were managing that injury and his return to full fitness. You can drop him out of games now and give him a rest and stick Sam Lavelle in there, or like you say, stick Deji in there as well. So really, really happy with the business in bringing Sam Lavelle in. I think he'll be a really good acquisition.
Yeah, now Papa Suarez is an interesting one. Obviously, you know, former Palace man, played a very high level. You know, I think was he Premier League? He's played in the first league in France as well. And had this nasty car accident a few years back and hasn't played a great deal since then. I mean, if he can rediscover that form, he's with us for at least a year. Then he could be a real sort of dark horse coming out of nowhere and actually being the player he once was again, which could be really good. And we know that we needed a little bit of competition in that left back berth. I wonder if he's a bit more of an attacking one as well than Ben Purrington, Tom.
Yeah, as you say, comes with huge potential, I think, but also a bit of a risk. I said to you when he signed, I didn't realise he'd ever managed to come back from that car accident, because as you say, it was obviously a very difficult time for him. So yeah, it is a risk, because from what I've read and kind of seen, he hasn't played a huge amount since and hasn't been brilliant. But when something like that happens, you know, it does take some time. So at the very least, he's going to put pressure on the likes of Ben Purrington and Chris Gunter, who's, I think, the last couple of games performed better out there. But certainly we would expect more from him. And as you say, maybe something a little bit different as well. So yeah, probably not the same sort of 7 out of 10 performance that you get out of Purrington. And obviously Gunter brings all that experience, but, you know, he can put pressure on them and, as you say, offer something different. So yeah, he's a little bit of an unknown quantity, I think, at this stage, but a bit like Henderson, you know, just offers us cover in that position. So yeah, another one. And as I said earlier, just an area that I think we all know that we kind of needed to strengthen. And you know, it's not the sexy signing of another striker or anything like that, but come the end of the season, might be the sort of player that, you know, plays the odd game here and there and just helps us enough and gets those extra points over the line for us that could be the difference between a playoff or not. So yeah, interesting to see how he settles in.
What about Hendo then, Lewis? Obviously a great character. I'll never forget that night up at Huddersfield when he came out to do Carol Fry's post-match duties for him and how much he was hurting at full time in that game that we'd lost 5-0 at Huddersfield. But again, someone who hasn't played very much, but he's been with the club for about 4 or 5 weeks before we've actually signed him. So clearly they've decided there's enough there to make him our backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, exactly that. He's someone I really, really like. Henderson, from his time here before, was an honest, open player in those tough periods we had in that relegation season, especially. He always came to the forefront and spoke out when needed, and he was a real consistent performer. I mean, the season before he was in outstanding form as well, and a great goalkeeper and a great character. So obviously with the likes of, well, Ashley's obviously gone out on loan now, but we saw Nathan Harness in the Crawley game look fairly impressive, but you always need a bit of experience there. And I think with Hendo coming back, he's all-round popular character around the football club from his previous time here, and also some real experience at different levels of the EFL. He's obviously not had the best couple of years in terms of playing time. He's been at Palace and was pretty much unused. Obviously had his time at Forest, went back out on loan to Portsmouth. He's, you know, had a tough couple of years since he's been away from us. But I watched his interview on Valley Pass Charlton TV earlier with him, and he just seems so happy to be back. And I think having him around the place will be a real boost. And, you know, I just think he's a really great person to have in and around the football club. And I was really, really happy to see him given the opportunity to come back.
Now, Rich asked me to sort of sum up the transfer window as it closed. So I was up until like 1 o'clock in the morning the night after it closed, just to put down my final thoughts. And I think that what I said, there were still two positions where I felt short at the back of my mind, knowing that we were definitely going to get another goalkeeper anyway. So I didn't include that. But obviously left back was one of them. The other one was striker. Now, Josh Davison did very well against Crawley, actually. He scored two very good goals, got an assist as well. I mean, Johnny Jackson said sort of 2.5 goals because it was an own goal, wasn't it, that his cross went in off. But when we saw him in the League Cup game against Wimbledon, probably wasn't up to that level yet. I mean, he is now going to be the backup for the Jaden Stockley type of striker. I mean, is that a post that you would have wanted to bring someone else in, you know, knowing fully well that we do have these attacking options that can flit around and change the system a bit? Or do you think, no, Josh needs to have his chance now? He needs to do it sort of now or never to be the backup for Jaden and to have the ability to come in and take his place when Jaden's out the side injured?
I think it's a really difficult one. My opinion would be he's not quite ready yet, but he is playing backup. So, you know, you don't expect him to be needed too much. Obviously, if Jaden gets an injury, I would be worried only having him there in that sort of mould. Now, as I said earlier, we've got Ronnie, but we don't really know what's going on with him. Again, maybe we'll talk about what Jacko said after the Crawley game. We've got Connor, who can play up there, but you'd expect to play more in as a two or just behind a striker. So I did want another striker in, if I'm being totally honest. But it's difficult to know who to go for, because any of the kind of the big strikers are going to get picked off early doors, you would expect, and they're going to expect to play. And the reality is that for the majority of games so far, Nigel has gone for either one up top or one up with one just behind. And so any striker we did bring in is probably going to have to accept that they're playing, you know, second fiddle to Jaden Stockley, and they're not necessarily going to be happy to do that. So to that extent, I think, well, if that's the case, you know, give Josh a chance. And if he can play the other Papa John's games and get some minutes and get a couple of goals in those, then maybe he can. Because like you, I thought he impressed in pre-season. I'm just not sure if really he's at the League One level yet or not. But there's only one way to find out, and that's to give him a chance. I just worry about playing him too much too young, like we've done with the likes of Joe Piggott and Carlin, who then had a little bit of time in the wilderness before they then kind of came back and had a renaissance, if you like, and started to play a bit better. And, you know, I don't want Josh to have to go through all of that. I want him to be able to just gradually get his chance. But, you know, maybe if he's playing backup striker, that's exactly what he'll get. And so long as Jaden stays fit, there'll be opportunities there. So, yeah, like you, in a perfect world, I would have liked another. But I think that's being greedy, given the attacking options we've now got.
Yeah. I mean, pressure's on now, isn't it, Lewis? Like, so at the start of the season, everyone was saying the squad was short. We were concerned that it wasn't going to be addressed. It has now been addressed. You know, I think most people will look at that squad and say, yeah, that's pretty much where I was hoping we were going to be. I mean, Nigel said it himself in his clip. We wanted to be there at the start of the season, and we weren't. But that has now been fixed, and it's almost a chance to start again. But, I mean, if you look at that squad now and you don't get top six, then I think that would be a massive letdown for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that squad on paper has to be finishing in the top six. I think that'll be the expectation. I think, you know, we've spoken about it before that, you know, Thomas had his own expectation before the season started, and that probably contributed to why we were so frustrated that we had the start that we did, and maybe the lack of transfer business early on in the window sort of didn't match that ambition. But obviously now we've had that and the bodies have come in, I feel we've strengthened in all areas. I think overall there's a real depth there now. It'll be a different squad that we see on Saturday to the one we've seen in the opening stages of the games. I think there'll be a lot more options on the bench to come off and change a game if we need to make that decision. And yeah, I think overall, I mean, it's been the aim from the off, even with the start we had. I think, you know, we've always said that our ultimate aim is to get out this division, and we maybe didn't have the tools to do so at the start, but in my opinion, we definitely do now. And I know I was as buzzing as you were with Jonathan Lecco coming back, and I think he's a real coup, and he loves it here, and that can only benefit us. If he's playing well, he's a real confidence player, and he almost has that buzz and smile on his face here, and you could see it in his interview with Tracy and everything. And I think if that gets him firing, then we've got one hell of a player on our hands this season, and that'll definitely contribute.
Yeah, I'm buzzing for the first time he gives the ball away and everyone forgets that he's a winger and just assumes that he should do everything correct every time, because that was one grumble people had. But I mean, as Lebo used to say, he is an absolute wild card to the extent that even he doesn't know what he's doing. So how on earth is a defender going to deal with him? I thought Jonathan was brilliant when he was with us, and his goals and assist record was quite good. I think it was something like 9 within that first half of the season before he went off injured. So yeah, really excited about him, really hopes he can pick up his form again. Let's have a look at some of the tweets and emails that have come in then. I put it out there asking how people feel about the squad now. Steve says results will define how successful the window has been, which I guess they will. Sam says a championship side we've got now, we just need to make sure we get the results on the pitch. Will said I hope people stop whining now about the squad. We've brought in players, we've brought in quality, and we're building about the future of the club. The only way is up from here. Keep the faith. I don't know if whining's the word I'd use, but there was certainly disquiet about the state of the squad, and that has been addressed now. But at the time that people were saying they were upset about the squad, Tom, it needed to be addressed, and that's why they would have said it.
Yeah, I think it was justified. I think we probably said on here, as I said again right at the start of the pod, that we need to wait till the end of the transfer window. But you know, expectations have been set by the owner and the manager, and you know, after that relatively credible draw against Sheffield Wednesday, we hadn't won a game prior to Crewe. So I think there was reason to be worried, because we weren't expecting a start like that. And yes, it was easy enough to say, well, Ipswich are down there as well, and look at all the players they've signed. But concentrating on ourselves, you know, we would have been, not promised, but there was certainly an expectation that we would be up there, and we weren't. But yes, I don't think maybe whining, but certainly disgruntled fans. And as I say, I think there was an element of truth in that. We were at the Wigan game. I thought that was poor. But Crewe was a slightly better performance. Obviously, Crawley, we went and got the win. And, you know, if we can kick a little run on now, I think that will change. And we've brought the players in now. So, yeah, let's see where we are in a couple of months.
Yeah, and I think you talk about expectation levels being set. I think even the manager's own expectation levels weren't being reached, you know, 2 weeks ago in terms of the transfer business. But I think that has been put right now, right? Ashley said we should be pushing for a top six finish. Exciting to know that even after this season, if we don't get promoted, we have long-term contracts with key players and can build on that moving forward, stopping the yearly exodus every season and also giving youngsters a chance. Yeah, and that's certainly one of the good things about the younger players we've got on long deals. Obviously, we have got more experience on shorter deals at times and a couple of loans in, but that is about finding the right mix, and I'm hoping we're starting to find that now. Right, Alan says, we've not only got players in, but we've got quality players in. Not only does it make competition for places better, but you can see that the new players will most likely be in the starting 11. On paper, it's looking very good. We just got to pray that they gel quickly. Well done, Thomas Sandgaard and Charlton, for the great work. Michael says, in making signings late, Thomas Sandgaard has stomached a few early defeats for value for money, so he is less likely to be taken for a ride by agents in the future. That is his long-term thinking. So that's the way Michael's seen the transfer window. Again, if that's exactly what's happened behind the scenes, who knows? Maybe there was an element of thinking that we could do it with a slightly smaller squad or a slightly smaller budget, but that's been rethought after the first few games. I think if you listen to Steve Gallen was on the 72 podcast with our old friend Aaron Paul, we used to do the Love Sports show with, really good pod, really good host as well, so make sure you go and listen to that. Yeah, it was interesting hearing Steve how he saw the window progress. And it did imply he felt there was sort of like a seed change after the first couple of results himself. Right, Mike said, a few weeks back I was concerned at the lack of depth, but I think that's now been comprehensively resolved. The squad has cover in all key positions with one possible caveat in the front line. I think me and Mike are on the same page there. If we are playing with one forward, then a lot hinges on Stockley, who I feel is the only striker we have that can play that lone role. Let's hope that he stays fit. I feel now we have a top six squad, and more importantly, the building blocks for a team to improve next season with some solid younger players on longer contracts than we have become used to. Well done, Thomas Sandgaard. For me, so far, you have delivered. Coming, you Reds. That's from Mike. Yeah, excellent email, Mike. And I have to say, I think I agree with pretty much everything that you've put in there. On transfer deadline day, we have briefly mentioned it, Lewis, but the 6-1 win against Crawley in the Papa John's. They always take the mickey out of that competition because, you know, it's not one I hold in high regard. But funnily enough, when the games are, you know, very low pressure, sometimes it can be quite fun, and that's certainly what it was on that Tuesday night. And there's so many good things that did come out of it. So Josh Davison playing well, Elliot Lee getting his minutes in and scoring an excellent goal. Mainly for me, the second to last goal of the evening, Mason Burstow, the young striker coming on for his debut, on for less than 2 minutes before he headed home, and, you know, also involved with an assist for Josh Davison's own goal. So many good things to come out of it, but always great to see a youngster come on and make his debut and ripple the net within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, really enjoyable evening. Lots of good performances all round. And like you say, a competition we probably don't take very seriously, but it was good. I think it came at the right time because there were a few players there that were lacking a bit of confidence. You know, I think George Dobson played really well as well that night. Sean Clare as well. And like you say, Josh Davison, who now is going to be that backup striker probably. And it was a good night for him for confidence in terms of getting his double, which was almost a hat-trick as well. So, yeah, all in all, a positive performance. And like we say, I seem to have a habit of going to Papa John's games and there being loads of goals. And the last one I went to was that 8-0. So it was a nice treat to go and see a 6-1 as well at home. So, yeah, really enjoyable.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's have a break. When we come back, we're going to focus our attention for a couple of minutes on the Charlton Athletic women's side.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Charlton!
Yes!
Oh, it's Pierce! Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick
absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get it! Come on!
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What a time to be a hero here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking ahead to Saturday's home game with Cheltenham Town. It'll be the first time I can remember Cheltenham coming to the Valley. I have to look up if they've when the last time I actually played them in the league was. I'll do that while we listen to this little package from the game against the women's for the women's side against Coventry United. Now, they finally kicked their season off after the away game at Lewis was postponed due to COVID reasons. So they were at home against Coventry on last Sunday. Lewis was the commentator on Charlton TV. It was a 3-1 victory afterwards as well. We hear from double goal scorer Ella Rutherford and manager Karen Lewis.
And it's a corner to be taken here. Paul comes in for the back sticks. Well competed in the air. It's just cleared away, but it might come out to Rutherford. And it's a goal! Charlton Athletic take a really early lead, 48 seconds on the clock. Ella Rutherford with a fantastic strike from outside the box. And what a dream start for Karen Hills Addicts. Oh, and the ball's gone straight in from the corner. Charlton conceding in an unfortunate manner just before the half-time whistle. Ball comes in, will it go all the way through? It does! And it's a carbon copy of the equaliser from Coventry. What a goal! And the Addicts go 2-1 up. Brilliant strike from Beth Rowe. She's been really impressive in this game. Really effective down that side. Becky Jane gets ahead of her, and it's a great turn by Kira Skills, and she finds Elise Hughes, and Rutherford tries to switch onto her stronger left. She does, and checks the strike, and what a goal from Ella Rutherford, a second of the game, and what a fantastic strike on her left foot. Charlton well and truly deserve that.
I'm really pleased with everything we've done today. I thought we was outstanding from the minute one to right to the very end. I thought physically we looked sharp. The girls executed game plan amazingly well.
You know, we've been working really hard in pre-season, so it's nice that sort of it's paid off. And it was just amazing to have the fans' support back today. I think that really played a part in our victory. I'm just really happy with all-round performance. It's really good from everyone.
The season's going to be a long season. There's going to be lots of twists and turns, as you see today then by what you've just said. There is no team. Every team's going to be able to pick points off everyone. So all we need to do is keep focusing on what we're doing, making sure that we're doing everything right to keep the group as together as they have been today, and performances will take care of themselves.
I wouldn't say it's a message for others, I just say it's a message to ourselves that hard work pays off, and you know, we're just delighted to be back here playing football in front of the Charlton fans. Take each game as it comes, and we can obviously take this as a positive that we've started the season with a win, but there's a long way to go, so we're just going to keep working hard and take every game as it comes.
Oh, it was great to see so many people come down and support the girls, and I hope now that we get even more support, because the way that they played today, it was exciting football, and you'd expect now the Charlton fans to be obviously getting behind us, which they already have, but now when you start momentum and you start being successful, then obviously the following grows, and we all know that. But no, I'm really pleased with that start, and I think the fans should go away feeling quite excited about what's up for the season.
There we go. I went to bed dreaming of Ella Rutherford's left foot that night because she scored two absolutely beautiful strikes, so pure, and the second one was a screamer from outside the area. Lewis, I mean, you were on comms duty. What a way to kick off the season, the first game as a professional side, and, you know, 360-odd people packed into the Oakwood. It really was an enjoyable afternoon.
Yeah, it was. Really enjoyed commentating. The girls were fantastic. You know, it was a real strong performance. They were in the ascendancy for the entire game, really. Looked like a really well-worked outfit. You can see Karen and Ritesh have had a lot of preparation, a strong summer, and have brought in some decent players. And like you say, Ella Rutherford, what a performance. She won Player of the Week as well, didn't she? So well done to her for that, because I thought she was outstanding. But yeah, lots of good performances in there. And also, it's not often you go to a game and see two goals scored directly from a corner, exactly the same corner as well. But yeah, really enjoyable, really positive performance from the women's side. And yeah, exciting season ahead if there's more performances like that. Yeah, in the tank.
Yeah, the two goals from corner. I mean, I was driving back from Norfolk, so I was getting text updates from Benji, who'd gone down to the Oakwood, and he seemed really excited that someone had scored from a corner. So people score from corners all the time, just lob it in, someone heads it in. But I didn't wait until I watched it back. It's like, oh, literally directly from the corner both times. It was Beth Rowe who got the Addicts back in front shortly after half time, directly from a corner. But yeah, Rutherford had scored inside the opening minute and then added a glorious third. Yeah, Addicts women's there really shaping up well. We'll give you the details of the next home game when it's due to come. I think they're away to Durham this Sunday, so a long journey. If anyone's up in the northeast, look that fixture up and go on and support the girls. We are sponsoring the captain, actually, Lauren Bruton. So yeah, Charlton Live getting involved again with the women's team, and glad to support the girls. Right, another one who needs our support, Bob Boulder. Absolute Addicts legend, of course, former Charlton goalkeepers, been around the place for 35 years, has just passed that landmark in the last few weeks. He is doing his bit for the Community Trust and for the Upbeats at the moment. He's doing a cycle ride from Land's End to John O'Groats to raise money for the Upbeats and for the Trust. I caught up with him on the phone yesterday to get a little update as to where he is now.
So we're joined on Charlton Live by Bob Boulder, who's just outside Carlisle at the moment. Bob, a few days now into your challenge. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, obviously, the challenge is obviously just to celebrate 35 years. I thought I'd do something a little bit different. And the Deloitte Rab Rifle Sprint thought about that. And what better one to the fundraiser for the Trust and the Upbeats, you know, because obviously been with the Trust for a long time, and the Upbeats is just a fantastic program. So it has been a challenge so far. So we've done finished day five today. So as I say, we started at Land's End, and we're up just outside Carlisle now. So I think we've done about 560 miles so far. So yeah, so we go to Scotland tomorrow.
Yeah, that's not bad.
We're getting to Scotland tomorrow. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So the finish line almost being in sight then, a few hundred miles up the road. I mean, it's a pretty grueling schedule, well, isn't it?
Yeah, we've gone over halfway, so psychologically, yeah, so yeah, it's a bonus, you know. Yeah. But Scotland gets a bit harder, because obviously in Scotland there's one or two little hills up there.
Yeah.
You know, the choice ones, but the people on it is true. They're all their mind like is that same. They all want to achieve something. A lot of people doing it for charities, different charities, so this makes it even nicer.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really, you get to talk to them and why they're doing it and stuff. And yeah, it's very humbling than that, you know, like individual ones with different families and things. But yeah, right across the board, every charity right across the board, I think.
Yeah, and of course you're doing it to raise money for the Upbeats, which is obviously a cause close to a lot of Charlton supporters' hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we've all seen that. They're obviously nine-time national champions as well, which is, like, brilliant. And obviously the COVID situation has set it back a little bit. So just to get them the funding, you know, in for them so they can carry on for the next year or 2 years. So obviously our target was 5,000. And once again, Charlton fans have been fantastic. And, you know, it's just brilliant. So we hit that on Monday, and then we've just gone about 5,400 now. So more people donated. So it'll be brilliant to see if we can just keep on pushing, and I'll keep on getting day by day up here, getting through each day, and that, and hopefully we can get a few more quid in, which would be fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
It's new funding, you know. Obviously they've got the training facilities and they're travelling and different things like that, and coaches, and it's only that the parents obviously are enthusiastic. And also the trust as well. So obviously I'm doing it for the trust, which I've been there for 25 years, and I was Jason Morgan and that in the early days when I was playing, asked me to do things, and that's how we sort of come into working together, advising me to come on board. So, yeah, 35 years on, still here.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What is it about the place? What is it about you that we can't get rid of you, I guess, after 35 years?
Well, that's it, yeah. So the contract, I didn't know the contract was worth, you know, when I signed it, I did read the tiny, tiny small print, so it must be like a 40-year contract or something. I mean, to be honest, the club have been great to me, and, you know, the trust, and, you know, it's a lot, and the hosting of match days and stuff and everything, so it's just a big package that sort of suits me and suits the club, and hopefully that will continue. So it's just nice to be able to do something from me, from heart, for everybody that's involved in the trust and the upbeat. So hopefully we'll get a target and get to, well, don't hit a target, but get a few more quid in. That's what it's all about, really.
Yeah,
so,
and that's what we'll share the links on our Charlton Live social media, and we'll speak to you again on Sunday as well, when you'll be able to hopefully tell us that you finished.
Yeah, there's some Charlton fans on it. I've got a couple of Charlton fans on the ride as well, so I've had a little ride with them, and so they're proper Charlton, so that's nice. I'll have to ask them to personally, but we'll talk on Sunday, well, I'm allowed to use their name, and that's how I'm supposed to be. Otherwise, but... I don't want to be calling who they are if they get me in trouble. So.
Yeah, they're not on the run, are they?
We have to be careful, don't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're on the run, that's a very slow way to do it, but it does get you quite far.
Someone's missus listened to the radio and going, he said he was working on that,
you've got to be
careful. So I'll just get permission off them before I mention their names on the radio again. But yeah, it's really good, mate. So, you know, they're proper Charlton fans as well. All their family were, and granddads and stuff. So, yeah, they've got a big heart for the club, which is lovely.
There we go. That was Bob Boulder. Yeah, really putting in the miles. I'm excited to find out who those Charlton fans are, and if they are on the run, or if they are just cycling along with Bob. But maybe we'll find out on Sunday when Bob will hopefully have finished his ride, if all goes well. I mean, you know, he's got it in him. None of you guys have ever done the cycle. Nath done the cycle ride, didn't he, to Amsterdam? But basically, the ride to Amsterdam, we do 146 miles over 2 days. But he's doing 100 plus miles every single day, Tom. Are you going to sign up next year?
I was talking to somebody about it at the Oak the other week. Because during lockdown, I did a trip from my house, and I did Palace, Wimbledon, Fulham, Chelsea, Millwall, Charlton, and back home in a day. And I think that was around 50 miles. And I mean, I was broken by the end. So the idea of doing more than that for 2 days is nuts. But I mean, what he's doing is something else again. But you know, he absolutely loves it, doesn't he? He's a character. He's a good laugh. And you know, Charlton has a habit of kind of keeping that relationship with old players. And it's obviously for a fantastic cause as well. So, yeah, I certainly won't be going quite the distance that he is. But I'd be interested maybe one day of doing the Amsterdam one, because it sounds like you boys had a good time last time.
Yeah, I think I've hung up my... I literally haven't been on my bike since the last one, so I'm a bit out of shape. But we'll share. Charlton Live is sponsored, Bob. And we should say, actually, like, every time you download the pod, we get about 1p from Acast. And if that all adds up, we can sponsor things like the women's team and the trust and the upbeats, etc. So keep downloading. And if you can get as many phones as possible and download it like 10 times, you're just helping good causes. And that's what we're all about here on Charlton Live. Right, when we come back from this break, we're going to start to look ahead to the home game with Cheltenham.
To the box, looking for Stockley, he gets it in, and there's the opening goal. Cheltenham scored, a delivery absolutely perfect from Albie Morgan, picks out Stockley, who rose first and flicked it past Fisher for the opening goal.
Yeah, and that is a very, very difficult ball to defend if you're a centre-half. I know you want to look at it from Stockley's point of view. He was aggressive. He got above the centre-half. He pinned him so he couldn't make a jump and attack the ball. And then once you've done that, it's just a case of getting contact onto the football itself and direction towards goal. He did that. We find ourselves one in front, but a delightful delivery from Albie Morgan.
Well, welcome back to Charlton Live. Then time to look ahead to Saturday's home game with Cheltenham Town. It is our first ever home game against them. I just looked it up. So basically the game against them in the League Cup a couple of years ago under Russell Slade. I'm fairly confident Russell Slade was the manager that day. Because he shouted at me. It was a 1-0 defeat in the League Cup in 2016. So this will be their first ever visit to the Valley, according to 11v11.com. And looking forward to it then. So especially with all the signings that have come in, it's going to be a very interesting game for the Addicts. But first of all, Nigel Adkins was asked about the injury news heading into the clash with the Robins.
Ben Parrington, we'll start with Ben. Ben's trained with us today, which has been really good. And Alex has joined in a part of the training session. So hopefully they'll get a full week's training next week, putting them closer to where we need to get them to.
Great news. And Jake Voskowski is still on track. Everything okay with Jake?
Yeah, I had a good chat with Jake today. He's really pleased. He started to do a bit of running on the Alter G, which is good. So obviously that's an anti-gravity running machine. So not the same as running on the grass, for example. But he's on track for what he's doing. And his attitude's really good and his mood is good.
Any injuries we're not aware of from what happened prior to the international break, and even with the players coming back from international break?
Oh, we got one or two, but likewise, we've got a big squad of players. Big squad of players. Some played in the 23s yesterday, which was good, another good victory for the guys. We got a squad of players. One or two little niggles, which everyone will be well aware of. But we've got a good spirit about ourselves going into the game.
Just for the international break, back-to-back wins, if we include the Papa John's Trophy, which we should, both at the Valley, and Saturday obviously we're back there again, so hopefully with the transfer window activity that we've done, plus the two wins just prior to the window, we could have a good crowd at the Valley on Saturday against Cheltenham Town. But Cheltenham Town, they might have had a mixed start to their life back in League One, but they won the Division Two Championship last season. Michael Duff will have his side fired up for playing at a stadium like the Valley, so it's going to be a tough one.
Very much a tough game. I've watched them myself already this season. As you rightly say, they've done great last year. They were knocking on the door the year before that. They've got a manager who's been in place for several years now at the football club, so he's been able to build something. They've got a way that they play in and out of possession. They're going to be tough to break down. We're aware of that. And they've got the threats going forward. And they've done well. And it's going to be... There's no easy games in this division. I think we talked about that. And when you maybe turn around and say, well, we're Cheltenham, they're Cheltenham. So poles are parts of the size of football clubs. You cannot even think that way. It's a game of football against, never ever, Sun Tzu the art of war, never ever underestimate the opposition. So we've done our homework, we've done our diligence, we've worked really hard through the course of our week in our training to prepare ourselves for the game. And then we've got to see what we can do during that game.
You say about players coming in the lift and they get the chance to, or the fans get the chance on Saturday to see with some of these new players. It has given everybody a buzz, but it's also added a little bit of pressure because... With the squad depth we've now got, the expectation levels go up as well.
Well, the expectation level was here before I joined, and that's what we want. So I had 10 games at the end of last season. Unfortunately, we lost one. I thought that was probably one of our better performances as well. So the expectation when we joined the football club, the stature of Charlton is to be challenging at the top ends of the division, whichever division you're in. And that's what we're going to be looking to go and do. We've now got a sizeable squad of players, which is good, which is important. And this is the starting point. Now, what we've got up until the next international break is a run of fixtures where that squad and the depth of the squad should start to be coming to fruition, where we are playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. You can maybe take a player out and not risk an injury with him and rest him. Competition for places that come in, maybe change personnel that might be suited to certain games that we've got, home and away. Many factors, people's lifestyle, off the field of play, different things where we're not going to lose players to injury. Fact of the matter is we probably will, because that's the nature of football, but hopefully we can deal with them situations a bit better.
There we go then, Nigel, with plenty of selection headaches going into this game with Cheltenham. But I mean, that's exactly where he wants to be, I guess, Lewis. Like, You need to be in a situation where you're not scrambling around to fill the side and fill the bench like we were in early days of the season. I mean, it really is and it's going to be fascinating to see which player is playing which position come Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like you say, that healthy competition of pushing players. And we've obviously had this international break as well, which has probably come at the perfect time for us because we've got those bodies in and they've had a bit of an extended period to work together. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. Whether any of the new guys start from the off, I don't know. But it's great to have all these options now to choose from. And especially in midfield, it's a real... loads of players in midfield now, which is great. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really interested to see how we line up. Obviously, be a tough game, I think. Cheltenham haven't had the worst of starts, and they beat Ipswich, I think, on the opening day. So I think they're a fairly decent outfit. And first time playing them, I've never seen them play against us before. Obviously, you've had that one in the League Cup. So, I'm looking forward to it. And like you say, these new faces coming in at home as well. I think it'll be a really good day at the Valley on Saturday. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously no Gilby or no Purrington by the sounds of what Nigel said there. The players coming back from international duty will be assessed. I think Arthur, I don't know, maybe on the bench. Washington sounds like it'd be okay. But the fact that we don't have Purrington or Gilby at the moment, whereas 3 weeks ago that was a bit of a headache, we're now in the position where it doesn't matter as much. I mean, I'm looking forward to when Alex Gilby in particular comes back in because, we know what he can bring to this side, especially as a midfielder getting forward. But we're now in the position where it doesn't matter as much as well, which is, again, another change from 2 or 3 weeks ago, Tom.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing there, is we can rotate now. And obviously, after an international break like this, you want to be able to, you know, Gunter played both games for Wales. Washington played well for Northern Ireland, but obviously again has played a lot of minutes. So yeah, you want to be able to rotate where you can, and we've obviously got some players in now that means we can do that. I think, as I said earlier, and Lewis is right, you know, Cheltenham, you know, they're only just above us. They've only got the one win as well, but they have drawn a few games and they've scored a lot more goals than us, I think, or maybe conceded a lot more as well. So goals are, you know, there's going to be goals in the game, I think. So expect it to be 0-0 now. But I think it's about looking at them and seeing the best way to play against them. You know, do you drop Kirk into the 10 or do you play Lee there? Or if you've got Washington, do you play him there? You know, you've got options. You've got all those wide players as well. So it's about setting up right. I think he was right to drop Dobson and Clare for the previous game against Crewe. But then, as you say, played well against Crawley. So do you bring one or other of them in? You know, do you keep Morgan in that deeper role? There's options, and it's nice to be able to talk about that, because for those first few games, you know, we were wheeling out that same starting 11 and losing and then doing the same thing each week. And it was like, well, what does someone have to do to be dropped? And ultimately, it was about getting bodies in to give us those options. And now we have that. So I think what's exciting for me is we genuinely don't know how we're going to line up when we go in on, when the team sheet comes out at 2 o'clock. And I'm looking forward to seeing who it is and hopefully seeing some of the new faces as well.
I mean, that decision about the formation is going to be a big one as well, because it was notable for the Crewe game that we came away from that 4-3-3 or 1-4-3-3, as Nigel Adkins. That's the goalkeeper in him, not forgetting the goalkeeper in the formation. But very few people actually talk about the one in the formation, but Nigel does. So the 1-4-3-3 was replaced by, I don't know, I would have called it a 1-4-4-2 against Crewe, although there was perhaps a little bit of fluidity in there. But I mean, that worked very well against Crewe. So I mean, can you change that? Do you look at the personnel available? Do you look at the side you're going to play? Or do you, I mean, as a side that will need to go and impose themselves on the game, surely you focus on yourself first and let Cheltenham sort of react to that, Lewis?
Yeah, I think it would be really difficult to change it. But also, like, there's so many players now that can probably mould better into that original system of the 4-3-3, especially with that number 10 role. I think Elliot Lee plays the number 10 so well. I mean, I know it was against Crawley, but in that game, he played it outstandingly. So that's an option. Do you play that sort of 4-3-3 and make sure you've got the 10 supporting Stockley and have Elliot Lee there? Obviously, out wide, Giacimi kind of picks himself at the moment. He's been fantastic. And then on the other wing, do you have Kirk, or do you stick Lecco out there? Or, yeah, there's so many options. But I'd agree. We just look more organised and more attacking and more dangerous in that 4-4-2. I think it helped having someone alongside Stockley to take the pressure off a little bit in Connor Washington. So whether, you know, with him being away on international duty, that he started both games as well. He might be rested. And if he is rested, do we revert to the one up top, or do they stick Leko up top? I know he's played up top before. So, yeah, like we say, like a headache in terms of selection, but we've also got plenty of players to choose from now. So, yeah, like Tom, I'm just excited to see what that team sheet says at 2 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point that Lewis makes there. Leko could presumably play alongside Stockley where Washington played against Crewe. I mean, that's sort of something I'd written down on my notes. I mean, that could definitely work, I would imagine. Don't you think, Tom?
Yeah, 100% it could. And again, gives Washington that break because he's played a lot of football. And I think you've got probably three or four of those players. I think DJ primarily is going to stay wide, but I think you could argue Washington, Leko, Kirk, maybe Lee, but I think certainly those three could either play out wide or could play down the middle. So there are options there. And as I say, you haven't really got anyone apart from Washington who are playing like a direct standard 4-4-2. But I don't think particularly Nigel Adkins wants to play that, or 1-4-4-2 he would call it. But I think, yeah, you're right. Leko could play up top with him. I think Washington could play in that role as well. And I think Kirk could do a job there as well. So yeah, it's interesting to see. And as I said earlier, we've got Blackett Taylor as well, who played well against Crawley and could play out wide. So I'd be surprised if we just go for the standard 4-3-3 we played previously. I'd be very surprised if Albie's up there in that more number 10 role. But I think, you know, any other combinations of defensive midfielders or those ones going forward could work, because I think Watson and Morgan look very good there against Crewe. I thought Watson actually had a good game against Wigan as well. But then Clare and Dobson have started to improve a little bit, or certainly did in the Crawley games. So maybe deserve a chance as well. So even defensive midfield, we've got options. So, yeah, plenty for Nigel to be thinking about. I know he often posts his little tweet, doesn't he, when he's reviewing training and reviewing matches and stuff. So, yeah, hopefully he's had a look at everybody, had a look at all the international games. And as I say, if he gets his selection right, I think the thing we've been saying all pod is we've got the players there now that should be going out and winning games. So it's just about getting that formation and tactics right. And yeah, I think we can go out there and get all 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken already about the pressure and the ramped up now expectation levels, Lewis. So, I mean, again, it'd be very interesting to see how we react as a crowd if we don't win Saturday. I mean, it feels silly saying it, but currently after 5 games, or some have played 6, we're 6 points off the playoffs, which is obviously, you've effectively got an entire season just under to claw that back. 3 points above the relegation zone, in case anyone's worried, but I think we'll be fine. So we're not in a position where we can afford to drop too many points at home, you know, and hopefully that won't be the case on Saturday. But it'll be interesting to see how we react if we do, because it won't be the end of the world, but it'll just ramp up the pressure a little bit more now that we have this higher expectation level again.
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, the atmosphere before, when it wasn't going right, did turn pretty sour pretty quickly. Obviously, the atmosphere against Crewe was much better. The performance was much better. And with these players coming in, you'd like to think their performance level will be there. But also remember, some of these people haven't played a huge amount of football recently. You know, Jonathan Leko is probably he's match fit because he's played a little bit with Bo this year for Birmingham. But, you know, Harry Arter hasn't played a lot of football. Papa Suare hasn't played any football if he's going to be involved. Stephen Henderson, you know, is not going to be involved, I doubt, because of Craig McGilvery. But, you know, some of these players are just coming into their own sort of fitness and haven't played a lot of football. So it might take them a bit of time to get up to speed. And that's kind of the risk you take when you do your signings late on. You have to get that gelling. You know, we're seeing it with Ipswich. They've signed all these players and they've not really gelled yet. So it's going to require a little bit of patience, but I think the players we've signed improve us massively. And I think that as long as the performance will be there on Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the new players and seeing how Saturday turns out.
Lovely stuff. We're buzzing to find out what happens on Saturday then. Right, we've come to the end of the big match preview. Don't forget that we'll be back again on Sunday to look back at that game against Cheltenham Town. So make sure you get involved with your tweets and your emails. Tweet us at Cheltenham Live. Email us studio@cheltenhamlive.co.uk if you want to have your say on a Sunday show. Thank you to those of you who did for today. Thanks to Tom and Lewis for joining me on the pod.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you both with me. I'm Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again on Sunday. Charles and Life.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.